And good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HT Championship Week Video Notebook Day number
10.
10, double digits now. 10th day of the 7-day week known as Championship Week. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Sleeka down below, and next to me over in the puppet bunker there, David Griggs. David,
yes. Has
the bunker.
It sucks, Chad.
Oh, did you get food today at least?
No, Chad. You just locked me in here.
I sworn I stuck a stick of gum under the door.
It was a stick of gum, Chad. It wasn't food.
You didn't even bother to stick some pasta underneath there?
There's no pasta.
No pasta. Oh, well, tonight is pasta dinner night. John, do you have your pasta for dinner tonight?
I did. I'll have to bring it out here in just a moment.
All right. John's going to be eating his pasta dinner. This is the night that the actual selection committee does have their pasta dinner. We had our pasta dinner earlier. John's still eating it.
I didn't get any pasta.
You had
locked in the bunker.
It was gum. And you have your
mac and
bourbon.
Yeah, I got the bourbon.
Anyhow, on this show, what we like to do is we like to go over any news and notes of anything that's going on in college basketball. We review the day's conference tournament games, preview the next days, and update our survival board. And as always, we begin with the mailbag. Hoops HD mailbag time. We need a little theme music for the mailbag or something.
We're going to need some travel music today because I'm getting a lot of letters from a Syracuse looking for hotel recommendations in the Dayton area.
Yeah. I actually got a few questions here, though. The first one comes from Bob from Dallas. And David, this is kind of an interesting one here. Maybe I'll throw this over to you. You know, conference tournaments are allowed to set up their format, any way they want. Buys and ladder formats and home court. And Bob from Dallas wants to know, would a conference be allowed to just leave their first place team out of their conference tournament in order to get themselves an extra bid, especially if that team looked like it would be at large worthy?
Ooh. Bob must be a lawyer. Yeah, the way I understand the rules, you can. And the reason I say that is because tournaments like the SWAC and I believe the ASUN last year, and did the Horizon do this last year with NKU?
Yes, they did.
They had presented situations to where it was possible that the team that won the tournament would not get the automatic bid, and I presume they could. Because the rule changed, was it 2 or 3 years ago, that instead of your champion, it could be whoever you selected? Because didn't you make the point the other night that they could have the last two teams play and give it? I think you can. If the West Coast Conference wanted to have its tournament without Gonzaga and St. Mary's, I think they could.
I would think that's something you do if, God forbid, we ever go to 96 teams where – a conference like the MEAC or the SWAC could get multiple teams into the field.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to ever happen because obviously the conference would have to approve it. And if I'm in a conference, I don't want to be excluded from the conference tournament. So
right. And the other piece to that is the second someone figures that out, the NCAA will probably change the rules.
We have another question here. John, let me throw this one over to you. This question says that, actually comments about something I have to say. Jim Boeheim made a real fun comment today. He said that there is no reason basically to ever play the ACC tournament in Greensboro, North Carolina, that it should be in one of the big cities like Washington, D.C., New York, where it is this year, in Brooklyn at least, or down in Atlanta, I think was the city he mentioned. But they said there was no value to playing the ACC tournament in Greensboro. John, do you agree that there's no value to playing the ACC tournament in Greensboro? This is coming from Mike from Durham.
My first reaction was to double check and see if they made that quote today or 2 years ago. But here's another thing that we're forgetting about. The ACC is not doing any postseason tournaments in North Carolina because of HB2, which is another matter.
Well, they're actually booked for the next several years and none of them in North Carolina anyhow. Next year back in Brooklyn again, I believe. I think that they are booked for Charlotte, I think 2 or 3 years from now, but Mike from Durham does not like what Jim Boeheim's comments were, David.
I My feelings about Syracuse, at least this season, are, I think, well documented. And this might surprise you. Yeah, I'm going to go against every instinctive fiber in my body and not defend Boeheim, but at least ask the question, what was the question he was asked? I don't think he just spouted that off, did he? Like, somebody had to have drawn that out.
I think it was a question about his feelings about the tournament being in Brooklyn. So,
I also have to shout out to our friends at the UConn blog who had pointed out that Kevin Stallings actually has more wins in the ACC tournament than Jim Boeheim does.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Let's go. One last question here, and this one's addressed to me. I guess I'm going to be reading myself a question. It says, "Dear Chad, what is the craziest thing you ever defended David Griggs for?" From Art from Boston.
You don't need to answer that.
Unfortunately, Art, there's something called the attorney-client privilege. I, as David's attorney, am not allowed to tell you what I've defended him for. However, David, if he chooses to waive that privilege, is free to tell you whatever he wants.
I don't think I mean, I've never really done anything that I should have been taken to court for in the first place. So I don't think any of it's crazy.
At least within the state of Montana. The rest of the other 49 are a bit of a problem, David.
Well, maybe so. I don't know.
On that note, though, let's get to news and notes. There was actually one piece of news that came out of the Big Ten today. Michigan, a real scary incident where their plane got blown by the wind off of the runway, ended up crashing through a couple of fences, my understanding, and now the team has to fly out tomorrow. Everyone's safe, first of all. No serious injuries, but the team has to fly out tomorrow morning. They're going to be getting into D.C. like about 9 a.m. with about 3 hours before game time. Going to be interesting to see how the team's affected by that tomorrow morning.
Actually the second incident we've had with a flight, because let's not forget Butler also had issues flying back from New York after their loss to St. John's back in January, where they were a little bit shaken but came out of it unharmed.
And then took the bus back.
One other actually bit of news here, coming out of Kansas with Josh Jackson is going to be out for the quarterfinal round game coming up on here, I guess, today, after he was involved in a hit-and-run type of vehicle incident, I believe it was, where he took off from the scene of an accident and finally was disclosed that he had done that, and that's his punishment from Bill Self. So see how they do in their quarterfinal without him, but I still think they should be able to win that game. Right. We'll get to the Big 12 in a few minutes here. But let's go ahead and pull up the games here, and let me get the screen up. And we are using a different browser today, so we actually have ads on it this time. If you want to, whatever we are selling in the background there. We're going to start not in a game that was even played on Wednesday, but going back to a game that played late Tuesday night in the Big Sky. We left the air before this game went final in our last night's show, and it ended up being the best game of the day.
One of the better games of all of championship week, the only triple overtime game so far, and a big upset, Southern Utah getting it done against Montana State, getting the move on and play nice job with the bracket there, playing Weber, one of the better teams in the conference, a team that, although we finished third, we still think has a reasonably good chance of winning the league.
Yeah, but that was a real – I mean, Southern Utah was down most of that game when we ended our podcast last night. I think I even commented that I expected them to lose. They came back, an exciting – going to three overtimes, gets the win. These games are – let's do a quick preview of this coming up tomorrow. We do have the quarterfinal day, Portland State, North Dakota, Idaho, Montana, Sac State, Eastern Washington, Weber State, Southern Utah. John, do you see any upsets tomorrow?
I mean, if you could call Montana an upset, but I still think Idaho is going to go through with North Dakota. But watch out for Sac State tomorrow.
Watch out for Sac State. David, you agree with him? Watch out for Sac State?
No, I like Eastern Washington to win the whole tournament. So I don't – I mean, they want to watch out for Sac State because, obviously, if they fail to beat them, they will not win the tournament.
All right, that's a good point. Let's move into some games that we played today and start off – with the only championship that was awarded today. It's going to be our last championship until Saturday. Bucknell getting it done at home against Lehigh in a game that was close for about a half, and then Bucknell started turning it on, David.
Yeah, real impressive showing, not just today, but throughout the entire Patriot League season for Bucknell. Clearly the best team in the conference. I don't know what line they're going to land on. I think we've been projecting them around the 13-ish line, but they're capable of making a four-seed sweat. They're the best team out of this league. I'm glad they won.
Yeah, and it was nice to see them win, especially winning at home with the crowd very excited. You'll love these conference tournaments when they do play them on the home courts.
Right, yeah.
It was also second round day actually now in the ACC. We had four games. Miami taking care of Syracuse in the first one. David, is that it for Syracuse, or do you still think they're making the field?
This better be it for Syracuse. Any committee member that votes Syracuse on the board needs to be sent home.
And, John, we saw Duke took care of Clemson, Virginia got by Pittsburgh, but the Vatek-Wake Forest game, the question we have there with Wake is, does this loss knock them out of the field, or do you think they can still get a bid despite the loss?
I don't think it remotely knocks them out, because the question you have to then answer is, who do you put in place of Wake, which is the same thing I'm going to ask for Syracuse right here.
Anybody. In place of Syracuse.
I think there's a lot better argument in favor of replacements for Syracuse than in favor of replacements for Wake. I agree with David on that one. But we got quarterfinal days tomorrow. North Carolina versus Miami, Louisville Duke, Florida State Vatek, Notre Dame Virginia. If these were the last eight teams in a region, or maybe even the last eight teams in the entire country, David, yeah. This would be a good tournament. This is a strong field. We started our mock selection committee even, and all eight of these teams were voted in on our initial ballots. That's how strong this remaining field is. But your thoughts on these games tomorrow, David?
Really excited. I mean, Miami, North Carolina, it appears at least seed-wise to be the biggest mismatch. But the last time these two played, albeit it was at Miami, it was a blowout in their favor. Louisville Duke, my God, I mean, they're playing – that's just a great game all the way around. Like, those are two protected seeds playing in a quarterfinal game.
And guess what? Notre Dame, Virginia could be two more protected seeds playing in a quarterfinal game.
I know. So, yeah, Jim Boeheim made a point about how this is the best conference. That he doesn't have one of the best teams, though.
But I guess the other question that has to be asked.
He's not a protected seed playing in a quarterfinal game.
I guess the other question that has to be asked is, the last three Louisville Duke games, we seem to have a certain incident involving a player from Duke. Is that going to happen again?
I hope so. I really do. I at this point, once you've crossed the line, you might as well long jump over it. I hope Grayson Allen trips the hell out of somebody.
Up next, we also had first round day today in the Big East, where Xavier sweated out DePaul in the first half and then put him away in the second half. And we had a real fun game, David, between St. John's and Georgetown.
Yeah, got a little. I think it was in the early 80s, Chris Mullen and Patrick Ewing, maybe during the tournament, but the famous incident where he just set the hard screen and not a fight, but a little bit of a shoving match between the two teams broke out. And today, as coaches, Chris Mullen is the head coach of St. John's, and Patrick Ewing, who I kind of forgot was on the Georgetown staff, got into it again. It was the most Big East thing that's happened since the Big East has come under this format. It was great.
John, we got quarterfinal day tomorrow. The biggest, most important game, would you agree that it's your Xavier Musketeers against Butler, or maybe is it Providence against Creighton?
I think it's going to be Xavier Butler, simply because this would solidify a tournament spot for Xavier. But I'm also looking to the Marquette Seton Hall game, because at least the winner of that game has at least a decent chance to give Villanova a scare on Friday night.
We got a lot to get to, so let's move right along to the Big Ten tournament, where it was first round day. David.
Oh,
what happened to Tim Miles?
Well, he got the game in overtime, and I mean, it was just obvious that I just can't stomach. There's no way that Penn State could beat Nebraska in a legit game, so I don't know what they did. It's like you just know that something was not on the up and up.
In the late game, my Rutgers Scarlet Knights, their first ever Big Ten tournament win, knocking off Ohio State, knocking out any remote shot that Ohio State still had that thought that they might be able to get into the at-large discussion. And going up against Northwestern tomorrow, and I've already heard a couple of people saying that they think that Rutgers could win this game as well.
Well, they almost beat them earlier in the year at Northwestern, so it's very possible they could.
Huge game between Michigan and Illinois tomorrow, as well as the Iowa-Indiana game, John. And we'll look at both Illinois and Iowa as teams that definitely need to get wins tomorrow, correct?
Yep, and the other thing I'm going to highlight here is we have, again, the noontime for Michigan here, which is only going to be a few hours after their plane is scheduled to land tomorrow morning in D.C., so we'll have to see how that affects the Wolverines.
Okay, let's move over to the Big 12 tournament, where it was first round day, and we predicted that Oklahoma would be the team to pull the upset, and John, we got it wrong this time around. It was Texas that upset Texas Tech. TCU got by Oklahoma, setting up that TCU-Kansas game without Jackson, as well as Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas, West Virginia, and Baylor, K-State tomorrow. Another conference tournament that is full of teams that are going to be in the NCAAs, other than maybe the 6 and the 8 seeds.
Yeah, because Baylor was actually my pick when we talked about this last night, but they're going to have a bit of a tricky opener against Kansas State right here. I don't think West Virginia needs to worry against Texas, though.
No, and I think Kansas is going to cruise against TCU, but David, I'm really looking forward to this Iowa State-Oklahoma State game.
Yeah, it was fun the last time these two played, Iowa State getting the win. But again, to see them play on a neutral floor should be fun.
We've got Pac-12 action today, where Arizona State got by Stanford in overtime. It was a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Cal really struggled with Oregon State. Colorado went down big to Washington State before winning that, and USC was down in Washington before winning that. So even though the top seeds all won, they all struggled to get there, David.
Yep. I know. Real close games. And I was surprised at how much trouble USC and Cal had today. Cal has not looked good in the last several games. I think Utah wins tomorrow fairly easily. And we get, again, we get your UCLA-USC part three.
UCLA-USC Part 3 along with Arizona-Colorado, Utah-Cal, and Oregon-Arizona State. John, I don't know that the Utah-Cal game would be an upset, whoever won it, but do you see an upset in either of the other three games?
Other three games, I would watch out for Colorado here because they're actually going to be playing a little bit with house money since they pretty much have to win the tournament anyhow, so not quite as much pressure as they normally would have.
Don't pretty much have to win the tournament. They do have to win the tournament. Okay. But, David, you agree with him. I kind of like that. I kind of think that Colorado has a shot to pull off that upset.
Only if Arizona overlooks them and sleepwalks and just doesn't take the tournament seriously. I mean, I don't see it happening.
UCLA-USC should be a fun one, although I do think UCLA gets by the tournament there. And I think USC, with that win tonight, avoiding a bad loss, probably locked in their tournament spot at this point. SEC, it was opening round day with thrillers as Mississippi State beat a team without a coach and a team without a coach beat Bruce Pearl in overtime.
Yes. Wow. Bruce Pearl. I thought this would be the year they got it going. They did not get it going. Wow. I don't even know what to say. But great
effort. It
just
means more.
Yes. Great effort by LSU. Thank you for coming.
Actually, yeah. I mean, Kim Anderson is coaching Missouri. He gets to coach one more game. John, Missouri Ole Miss, Vandy A&M, Alabama, Mississippi State, and Georgia, Tennessee tomorrow. Obviously, I think I'd have to think that the Vanderbilt A&M, that's the team that's of those eight teams, the only team that's seriously in bubble talk, but let me throw it out there to you. Is Georgia still have a shot at getting a tournament bid if they get by Tennessee and pull off an upset maybe of Kentucky in the next round?
Georgia's got to get multiple wins, but quite frankly, I think they've got to win the tournament. I mean, granted, that's something they've done before with the with a big assist from Mother Nature in 2008.
Well, but their profile, if they beat Tennessee, who's a solid team at least, then Kentucky and South Carolina – before losing to a Florida, I think that changes their profile a ton, David, doesn't it?
It does. Does it change it enough? Because, again, it wouldn't be happening in a vacuum. And what other teams would be improving their profiles? I think the team that has the best shot at it, especially given how they've played in the last couple weeks or few weeks, even is Vanderbilt. But if Andy doesn't get my TAMU, they're in trouble. Well, they're probably out.
Let me ask you, David, do you see any upsets in these four games tomorrow?
No.
I think this Vanderbilt team may go down to Texas A&M.
I don't think so.
I think Mississippi State's actually going to be the one that has a decent chance to pull off the upset against Alabama, because the Tide have also fallen off the table in the second part of the SEC play.
Yeah, they're hot and cold. Alabama, you don't know, and they cannot shoot. Other than that.
All right. We had first-round dates in the Atlantic 10 where UMass held off St. Joe's, and we actually had a great comeback by St. Louis against Duquesne. Took the lead with 1.5 seconds left for the first time in the entire game to steal that one from the Dukes.
Yeah, huge deficit. Yeah, huge deficit to overcome there. So nice win for St. Louis, and can Pelfrey get them turned around? But again, I think that's as far as they go.
Right. Well, four games tomorrow, John, none of which involve any teams that any of the four top four teams, three of which are in tournament or bubble discussions. So do you see any upsets in these four games? Not that any of them probably would have any NCAA tournament effect.
Well, again, the 8, 9, 7, and 10 games, considering how tightly bunched they were in the 8-10, can you really call them upsets?
You know what? I got to do something right here. This game goes over here, CBS.
Yeah.
Let's get these games right here. St. Louis did not advance to play George Mason and Fordham. They advanced to play GW, but let's get that off the screen. I think that, St. Louis, I don't think they can get past GW. I don't see much in terms of upsets. Maybe UMass St. Bonaventure, David.
No. Not seeing that.
Not seeing it. All right, let's move on to the Mountain West, which kicked off with its first round games as well today.
Oh, wow.
Utah State took care of San Jose State, Air Force, Wyoming, and San Diego State University. We got to talk a little bit about this. Let's start with this Wyoming Air Force game.
My goodness.
Wyoming actually outplayed Air Force for the final 30-plus minutes of this game. The only problem was they spotted them a 25-0 lead.
Yeah, it was 25-0, or was it 26-0?
25-0. Wyoming started the game 0 for 8 from the field with 7 turnovers. Their first 15 possessions, 7 turnovers, 8 missed shots, and Air Force wasn't missing at all. 25-0.
Right.
It was just, I don't think I've ever seen 25-0.
Yeah, I haven't. And I realize, it's a front range game and we get another one tomorrow, but I really wish it was Wyoming Colorado State, because the last time the A's two played, it was so much fun.
Yeah. But at the same time, let's not forget that San Diego State was also in deep, deep trouble against UNLV to begin that game.
Yeah, they were down huge. They made a huge comeback in the second half.
I think it was 32-11 or something at one point in that game. And came back to all the way back to force overtime and win on the home court of the lowest seeded team.
We have quarterfinals coming up tomorrow, John. Nevada, Utah State, Fresno State, New Mexico, the front range game to Colorado State Air Force, and Boise, San Diego State. Do you see an upset here? And I've got one I'd want to point out, but let me start with you.
Well, with a little bit of pressure off their shoulders, I'll take San Diego State to knock off Boise State right here, but I see chalk holding up in the other three matchups.
And you took the game I was looking at as well. I think San Diego State could pull this upset tomorrow. David, you want to make a 3-for-3?
They could, but no, I'm going to go with Boise. I think it's all chalk.
But I know Nevada is going to be cheering hard for New Mexico, given that they've lost a pair of games to Fresno in the regular season.
Good point, yeah.
I think Nevada better watch out for Utah State, who they lost to during the regular season. So they better... They better worry about their own game before they worry about Fresno State or New Mexico. Conference USA started off today as Texas San Antonio pulled the upset over Western Kentucky, even though it was an 8-9 game. I really thought Western Kentucky was going to win that one.
Yeah, it felt like it. Real sloppy, poorly played game, but it was exciting anyways. San Antonio, after winning just 3 or 4 games a year ago, much better this year. I think that their run ends tomorrow, but the other games were pretty close as well.
I'll tell you, Rice was down to Southern Miss for most of that game, came back and took it, put it away. Marshall FAU was a complete blowout, was not even nearly as close as
that. Right, yeah, final. That one was weak.
But UAB Charlotte may have been the game of the day anywhere, with Charlotte taking the lead with under about 10 seconds left, and then William Lee getting a putback slam to take the lead with about what, a second and a half left there, and get that game for the Blazers.
Yeah, Charlotte had a shot that would have won the game, but it missed at the buzzer. So UAB, the host team anyway, moving on to play La Tech. And I think we need to point out what happened the last time these two played. Everybody, a lot of people on both teams left early.
There was a fight to the point that it was what? It was 5-on-4 at the end of the game?
Yeah, with nobody on the bench. I mean nobody on the bench. No assistants, anybody. It was quite a scene.
I've got to think they'll be on their best behavior with postseason on the line here.
Yeah, but I think, David, I think we've got three. I think Middle Tennessee, San Antonio will probably be a blowout by Middle. But I think the other three games all could be fun games. UTEP, Rice, Tech, UAB, Old Dominion, Marshall. I think those are all three evenly matched games.
Yeah, they are. And Middle Tennessee ran away from the league. But once you get below them, it's a lot of parity. So we got three good games tomorrow.
But I'll call it right now. If Marshall wins this one over Old Dominion, I'll have the Dan D'Antoni wardrobe for tomorrow night's podcast.
All right. We're going to look forward to that. Now I got to root for Marshall. MEAC Day. It was the first two quarterfinals as NC Central took care of Bethune-Cookman. And we thought Norfolk State was blowing out South Carolina State. David, a huge late comeback forced overtime before the Spartans advanced there.
Yeah, nice win for them. Win in advance, they're still alive. So Norfolk in their home city getting it done in overtime.
John, we've got two more quarterfinals coming up tomorrow. Hampton, Maryland, East Shore, Morgan State, Howard. You gave us a sneak preview of your upset last night, but you still sticking with that?
Yeah, I'll still go with Eastern Shore, even though it's kind of a quasi-road game.
Okay, I think Morgan State's going to roll over Howard. This Howard team has not played well all season. I'm shocked they got by Coppin State, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Southland tournament kicked off today where neither game was ended up being that close. I mean, I guess Sam Houston Central Arkansas was close for a while before the Bearcats pulled away. Lamar took care of Southeastern Louisiana. But, David, we got, I guess, the quarterfinal round tomorrow or the second round there. Houston Baptist against Sam Houston, two teams that are fairly close to each other geographically, and SFA against Lamar.
Yeah. SFA, again, they have absolutely dominated this league. It's a down year for them, and they only finished third. It feels like they're at the bottom of the league as much as they've dominated it, but I think they get it done tomorrow. I'm looking forward to the Sam Houston Baptist game. I really am. The other one, I think SFA gets it done pretty easily.
I'd agree with you. John, do you want to disagree?
Nope.
Okay. Let's move on to the Sun Belt, which also kicked off today with Coastal Carolina beating South Alabama. Monroe with a huge upset in overtime over Arkansas State. Last place team beating a team that we thought had a shot to win this thing.
Yeah, that was really, really surprising. One of the bigger upsets of all of Championship Week, I think. This is an Arkansas State team. Remember that we were ranking in our top 10 early in the year. Now they had to, they
under hit the radar us, top 10.
Yeah, under the radar top 10 early in the year, and they hit a slide once they started conference play, but still a really good team. And I'm as shocked by this as anything that's happened, minus maybe Milwaukee.
Yeah, the other two games, Louisiana Lafayette and Troy, both advanced. moving on, actually, the conference, this conference will be off tomorrow. It won't be back until Friday when it hits the quarterfinal round. They're playing the women's games tomorrow. But so we'll talk about the preview of these games coming up when we do our show tomorrow night. But again, the big upset there, Monroe knocking off Arkansas State. John, if you're back, these are games that are being played tomorrow that were not in action today. The Mid-American Conference back in action. It will be quarterfinal day. Akron, Eastern Michigan, Ball State, Western Michigan, Ohio, Toledo, Buffalo, Kent State. Should we just flip a coin for each of these four games to decide who wins it?
I mean, you can flip a coin for Akron, Eastern Michigan, but I feel fairly confident that Ohio and Buffalo are going to win their games.
I don't, David. Do you think anybody's...
there's so much parity in this league. It wouldn't surprise me if Chalk held, and it wouldn't surprise me if the opposite of that held and all the weaker seeds won. I mean, this is – I love this tournament.
I think these may be four of the funnest games tomorrow just because they're all eight of these teams, you know, are that close to each other in terms of parity. Right. I'm actually really excited for watching these games tomorrow.
Yeah.
We also are going to be starting the last – well, three more tournaments that are starting. It's not going to be the last three, but three more tournaments starting coming up here on Thursday. First one in the American, where it is first round day as Temple versus East Carolina, Tulsa, Tulane, and UConn, a team that preseason we thought would win this conference, have to play an opening round game against South Florida. David, this tournament is in – Hartford. So what do you see happening tomorrow?
Well, I mean, that's just a bitter rivalry, that UConn-South Florida game. That's for the trophy, isn't it?
No, that's Central Florida.
That's Central Florida.
I can't even
keep it straight. And then, I don't know. I think UConn was playing well enough down the stretch to beat the sub-200 RPI teams like South Florida. I think they get that done. Other than that, I'm not really expecting much out of any of the teams.
Well,
a whole lot further.
Let me ask you this, then. Who wins this conference tournament?
I'm going to go with the big upset in this one. I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
John?
I'm going with Cincinnati only because they are way overdue in terms of karma.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take SMU, but I think that it's going to be an SMU-Cincinnati final. I'm really always tempted when you look at a tournament like this to want to pick somebody else to get there, but I think Chalk is going to hold to the final, and I'm going to go with SMU win the split during the regular season. I'll go with SMU to win it. I think UConn might upset Houston, but that would be the end of it.
Right.
Big West also starts tomorrow, quarterfinal round day, UC Irvine against UC Riverside, Long Beach against Hawaii, Cal State Fullerton, Cal State Northridge, UC Davis, Cal Poly, conference tournament that is probably playing its way towards Dayton. John, what do you like in tomorrow's games?
In tomorrow's games, I actually like Fullerton and Davis to advance, and I'll also take Hawaii and Irvine, especially with Hawaii now knowing for sure that they'll be eligible for the NCAA tournament this year.
Yeah, and John, who do you think is going to end up winning this thing?
I'll actually go with the hotter team and say Fullerton sneaks out of Anaheim with the trophy.
Fullerton. David, you want to go Fullerton also?
I like this Long Beach team. I just think that their ceiling is high. They were certainly battle-tested out of conference. I know they only finished fourth, but they've shown signs of life, but I like them. But my pick, and it's more sentimental, it will be UC Davis to win their first ever Big West championship, I think.
I kind of like both those teams. I think those two teams could be battling in the finals. I'm going to go with Long Beach to win it, but I think that UC Davis could be in the championship game against them. I don't have any confidence in Irvine to be able to win this conference tournament. Last but not least for tomorrow, also starting, it is quarterfinal round day in the WAC as we have UMKC against Rio Grande Valley in the 3-6 game, New Mexico State against Chicago State in the 2-7 game, Utah Valley, Seattle, the 4-5 game, and Cal State Bakersfield taking on Grand Canyon in the other quarterfinal.
Great, great day of basketball.
To Lopes.
I mean, if you're in Vegas, there's just no better show in town.
There's something wrong. Hey, let me fix this here. Grand
Canyon.
um, GCU. But yeah. David, who do you think is a anything you see in surprises for these games tomorrow?
No, none whatsoever.
John, who do you pick to win this thing?
I know they've been in a bit of a funk lately, but I'm going to go with New Mexico State to win this tournament.
I'm going to go with the chalky. I'm going to take Bakersfield, David.
Yeah, me too. And it isn't Bakersfield, just the way they've played down the stretch and the way they looked particularly against New Mexico State leads me to think that they're the best team.
Okay. But enjoy it now because you know what's coming in 2018.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Lopes up. Well, that completes the review and the preview of all the games. Let's turn over to our NCAA Tournament Survival Board now. I'm going to pull it up. And this is where we were after last night's games, including the late elimination of from the Big Sky Conference. So we had 205 teams remaining on the Survival Board. And David, can you tell everybody what the Survival Board thing is all about?
Well, it's a tool that we create for the selection committee. They can come to this site and essentially, in a quick snapshot, figure out what the hell it is they're supposed to be doing. You know, the teams in bold are the teams that they need to take. The teams that are in just regular type, those are the teams that need the automatic bid, so they really don't need to worry about those. And the teams in italics, those are the ones that they need to be looking at. But right. Maybe they take them, maybe they don't.
Right. And beginning tomorrow night, we're going to start seeing some of these italic teams come off. We decided not to remove anybody tonight because we're going to so few teams such as a Clemson that is lost or an Ohio State that lost today is still in italics just for now. We're going to be doing an update of that after tomorrow night when our mock selection committee begins meeting. So we're going to take a look at it here, though. There were 205 teams left, and as a result of what happened today, we are down to under 200, 176 teams left.
Wow.
45 teams have been locked in now with Bucknell being added in today. We see teams here like the Big 12 down to 9 teams because we still have Texas Tech on the board. I expect them to come off tomorrow night when we make some adjustments there.
We did begin the first part of our mock selection tonight. There is a board, but I think it completely matches this as far as who's bold and who's italicized.
It pretty much does. And in fact, what we could do is I can pull up that board. Let's show that as well. In fact, let me – and there we are. I just pulled it up. This is what our selection committee did. We did our initial ballots, David. The initial ballot process, how does that kind of work?
Well, you submit to – ballots. One is teams that you feel should be in the tournament no matter what happens in the conference tournament. So you see the obvious picks there, Arizona, Baylor, Butler. These are all teams that are getting into the NCAA tournament, even if they lose their first conference tournament game. And you pick up to 36 of those. You don't have to pick 36, but you can pick as many as 36. There's 10 members on our committee, I believe, and everybody that gets 8 votes is in the tournament. Essentially,
8 or more votes, yes.
Yeah, 8 or more votes. And they're pretty locked in. There is a mechanism to get a team out, but it would essentially require 8 people voting to move them out. And the chances of 8 people changing their mind after 8 people voted them in is very, very slim. Virtually impossible. These teams will be on our field.
Right. Almost impossible because it did happen last year with South Carolina and Syracuse trading places.
Well, it could happen at the end of the process, but not with this initial group. South Carolina, those teams that we made switches on in the last year were the last team that we voted in. We then changed our minds on it. But the under consideration board is the other board. There's a second vote you make.
Yes.
If a team has at least 3 votes on between the two votes combined and did not get in as an at-large bid, they go to the under consideration board. And you can see there are a ton of teams here, which includes some teams that really don't belong, like we just mentioned Ohio State, Ole Miss. What are they doing there? I have no idea. Why did 3 people consider them? Makes no sense to me. A lot of teams that do make a lot of sense, though, like a USC, Michigan, a Michigan State. And you can also see here, there's also a group of teams, anybody that won their conference regular season title and has not gotten an automatic bid and was not otherwise voted in, automatically goes on this list to start.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, I anticipate that this entire group here will probably get knocked off, along with probably 7-10 to the other group as well.
I actually voted not on the at large, not on the tournament board, but for the consideration in that little group you have there, Chad. I actually voted for one of those teams.
That's nice.
For Vermont.
They did not get three votes, but they are there. But right. We also have our Centenary Award down here at the bottom. That is an award that we're going to be determined tomorrow night for the worst team in Division One. The reward is they will be able to stay on the under consideration board the entire time. It's down to Alabama A&M or North Carolina A&T. We believe Alabama A&M is going to take it.
Right, yeah.
And John, you just pointed out there, you made a circle around that ACC note there. There are eight teams left in the ACC tournament. All eight of them are already in this group of 30 here, which is amazing. Yeah. That shows you how good that ACC tournament is. As a result, one of them will definitely be moving from here over to the auto bid column. So we do have a 37th spot that has definitely opened up. And we could have another half dozen or so that's still opened up beyond that.
And eventually it'll probably be within the Big East, the Big 12, and probably it might be the SEC, but I don't see the Pac-12 until it's much later in the process.
Yeah.
No, it depends on who's left and who gets voted in. So, for example, after tomorrow, if Oregon, UCLA, and Arizona all win, yes, but the fourth team in there is going to be either Utah or Cal, so that spot probably won't open tomorrow.
Right.
But I guess on that note, let me pull this down and run through each of you for any of the final thoughts. And, John, let me start with you.
I think we've pretty much covered everything that we need to cover, at least as far as the first phase of the selection process.
Yeah.
Okay, and David?
Last Saturday was a extremely busy day. This Thursday, another one. It's one of those days that coming into the season, there's just a ton of games, and we ran through all of them. And we will watch all of them, and we will review all of them tomorrow.
Yes, we will be back tomorrow night. We'll be very tired again, but this is why we all take these next 2 days off, except for the fact that I will be working tomorrow morning, but
or at least have a pot of coffee for tonight.
Yeah, but on that note, on behalf of David Briggs over in our puppet bunker and John Stalica, who is not in a bunker as far as we know, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another video notebook and an update on our first night of meetings for our selection committee.